Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, aloha. My name is Lani Ka'a and I'm here in studio. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Thanks for joining us today. In a world growing in chaos and challenge, how can we best help those in need? And can one person make a transformative difference? Today's guest, Bob Woodson, would say absolutely yes. Each of us can make an impact and reminds us that we must always do that which ennobles people. We take a minute to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ, for there is always hope in Him. No matter what you are going through, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He died for mine. He shed His blood for all of us. He was buried, but He rose again to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every day. Today, He is calling you. Our guest today is Robert L. Woodson, Sr. He is the founder and president of the Woodson Center and 1776 Unites. He is a civil rights activist and an influential leader on issues of poverty alleviation and empowering disadvantaged communities to become agents of their own uplift. Woodson is a frequent advisor to government officials, business, and philanthropic organizations, and is frequently featured as a social commentator on C-SPAN, CNN, Tucker Carlson Tonight, Life, Liberty, and Levin, and other national and local broadcasts. He and his wife, Ellen, have four children and live in Maryland. Bob, welcome to our show.
Well, just pleased to be here. Pleased to be here.
Thank you. Have you been to Hawaii?
Oh, yes. I've been on one occasion. My wife and I spent a week there and had just a wonderful time waiting to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we recently have had some very bad weather, but I'm sure the weather will get better. We tend to have pretty good weather year-round, so come anytime and you'll probably find a sunny day.
Well, I'm looking forward to it again.
Bob, we usually start the show by just asking you, where did you grow up? Where did you start your walk with the Lord?
In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I was born in a little blue-collar neighborhood during the time of segregation. Even though we were in low-income community, every home had a man and a woman, father and mother. We had godly people, and my dad died when I was 9. Even my mother, with a fifth-grade education, to raise 5 children, ages 9 to 17. So she spent a lot of time working and providing for us. It meant that. And so, but she armed us with the right values, and so it meant that when you have a situation like that, you have to rely upon friends and a network outside of your blood family. But because of the values that she conveyed to us, we were able to select good friends. And some of them, one of them you may know about, that we were friends from 9 years old. He was the first black on Sesame Street. He was Gordon on Sesame Street.
Wow. Wow.
And so then I was able to leave that neighborhood, and they were a year older than I was, so they graduated and went on to college, and it left me unaffiliated in an urban setting, which you can't do. So I quit and went into the military, the Air Force. Yeah. And they blessed me with giving me some good training, and I was able to complete my GED and take courses on the base at during the time of segregation. So that meant they had to have extension courses from the University of Miami because I couldn't go on campus. But anyway, earned 12 hours, graduated, got out, worked full time, got an undergraduate degree, graduate degree, and the rest is history. As I said, my form of affirmative action was going to school and driving 30 miles to work and back for 4 years, going to summer and winter. So hard work
Yeah.
And faith in God helps.
Yeah. So who would you say influenced you as you were growing up?
Well, it was what influenced me most in later in life. We always grew up in the church, but as youngsters, the church wasn't always in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we still but it really helped guide our choices that we made. And it was really when I was in the civil rights movement, and I was working at a juvenile jail and locked behind three doors to these juveniles, and that I kind of had a burning bush experience. I was on my way to get a degree in math and science, which I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I supervised these youngsters who were in there from gang murder to truancy, no program, locked behind three doors, and I would take them into unsecured areas of the jail to give them parties and things, and they trusted me and I trusted them. But one day when I was returning to clean up, all 65 of these boys stood and applauded me, and I just became flush with emotion and turned and had to walk out on the grounds for 20 minutes, and I didn't know what was happening to me. But from that day on, I just said that I found out later that it was Christ touching my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to turn away from math and science in the space program and devote my life to helping youngsters who were in an environment like that. So the path of my life changed through. This was a burning bush experience before I knew what a burning bush was.
Wow. And when did you accept Jesus into your life personally?
Personally, it's interesting that I was started the center and I was working. When I started my organization, I started it with secular purposes to secure social justice for disadvantaged people. And there was a man I met named Leon Watkins, who lived at 62nd and Pico, a gang-related area that was overrun with a gang called the East Side Crips.
Mm.
And Leon, I met, wanted signs up all over. And so he said, I want to meet the leader of this gang. And so long story short, so two carloads of young people pulled up. Leon is walking toward them in this alley with his hands in the air. And they said, I heard you're looking for me. He said, yeah, I want to talk to you about your life. He sat the leader on a trash can for 3 hours, and the next day he had him in Bible study.
Wow. Mm.
And within 3 days, he had the entire 17-member gang in Bible study, and they transformed from terrorizing the community to help protect it and rebuild it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I saw the work of Christ in a most amazing way, and I asked Leon, how did you do that? And he picked up the Bible and read. And so after that, I began to see concrete evidence of the grace of God in action in the most unusual way, in the most unlikely situation.
Mm, wow.
And that changed the trajectory of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I began to understand what really transforms and redirect someone's life. And so the rest of my life, I knew what to look for in these urban centers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to listen to several of your commentaries and talks. And one thing you said in one of your videos really struck me. You said, if you want to go where you have never been, then you got to do something that you've never done. Is that something that resonates with you? Talk about that.
Yeah, I just think when we're looking for, I have been blessed with, I used to say 80% of my closest friends are ex-something. They're ex-prostitutes, they're ex-drug addicts, they're ex-predators. I have just walked among people that I saw God work to transform them from some of the ugliest lives and so they realize that freedom sometimes is more difficult to manage than bondage. Mm-hmm. Because again, and so when you're looking to change your life, you have to look for redemption and restoration. It won't be found in external. You've got to find it inside. And so, as I've said to people, if you keep doing what you do as by grassroots, you keep getting what you got. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so sometimes if you want to move in a new direction, you got to take the risk. Mm-hmm. And there's always a risk and reward there. Mm-hmm. But you've got to move into a whole direction of your life. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the trans. It can't be rehabilitation. Rehabilitation doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to change it. You got to plant something new.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't harvest, just clear the field, as it said in Matthew, because, you know, the weeds, if you clear weeds, then there'll be twice as many. But if you replant in your life, you have to give yourself, it has to be a new life. And I've seen this examples of it after example. Mm-hmm. So I have been a witness to redemption in action.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, people that I serve, young people in these urban centers, they're tired of hearing sermons. They're anxious to see a sermon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you talked a little about the center that you started. It's currently the Woodson Center.
Yes.
What made you, I know you said initially it was different purposes, but as it's evolved, you have a special program directed to youth. And tell us about that.
Well, what happened was I wanted to find out what really changed. What could you change young people? Therapy that wasn't doing it. Locking them up wasn't doing it. And so I studied. It was a woman in Philadelphia whose son was right in the middle of a gang neighborhood, and the oldest of her six sons was a gang member.
Mm-hmm.
And so she invited him to bring his friends home. So he brought 15 of these young men in their house. It's a little house. She said, I know nothing about gangs, but I know something about family, so why don't you all move in with us?
Wow.
So I moved out the furniture, put mattresses all over. Those are what I call social entrepreneurs or Josephs.
Yeah.
And that is that, and so they had to learn to live together and worship together and all, and as a consequence, they had to work, and they retired her mortgage in 2 years, and then they bought a house next door across the street.
Wow.
And the next thing you know, there are 50 kids. Children are anxious to receive sanctuary from violence and chaos in their lives.
Yeah.
And if we provide it with the proper love and guidance, they will come, and God will then transform them and make them warriors for others.
Mm-hmm.
Because children are more influenced by people who are witnesses. That's why, and I have a book called The Triumphs of Joseph, because Joseph to me is a profound character. The two types of Josephs, they're Josephs of Genesis, who was blameless, but he suffered injustice at the hands of his brothers, the house of Potiphar. He was unjustly imprisoned. But what distinguished Joseph, he never became bitter as a consequence of all of the injustice heaped upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was patient. He was faithful to God.
Yeah.
And then when he was called to Pharaoh to bow down, he said, I can't bow down. Pharaoh knew he had character.
Yeah.
And he was trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there are two types of Josephs in these inner cities. They're the Josephs, the people who are in poverty but not of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
The other types who were fallen and then became redeemed, but then they become witnesses to other people that redemption is possible.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I do rely upon influencing people to change and walk a different path, by showing them examples of God's grace in action.
Amen. Bob, we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break for commercial break, but I want to talk a lot more about being a Joseph. You shared a little bit. I just really want to dive into that. I feel such a inspired just reading about it and hearing you talk about it. So When we come back, let's touch a little bit more on that. We are talking today with Bob Woodson. He is distinguished, won the President's Citizen Award in 2008, one of the highest awards you can win in this country for service. He started the Woodson Center in 1981. And really has reached out to community after community and changed the lives of young people. We'll be back. Stay with us. You're with the Good Life Hawaii.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here. We continue our discussion today with Bob Woodson. Before we start again, I'd like to remind you, if you'd like to hear today's program again or share it, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's there for you to listen to, download, and especially share. Share with somebody who God's putting on your heart right now, Bob Woodson. He grew up in Philadelphia, and after earning his GED and a degree in mathematics, he worked at a juvenile jail. It was there that God met him, changed his life. He became inspired as he helped those in the jail. 60 juveniles he talked about in the first segment. What an amazing experience. What a life-changing moment. A burning bush moment. Bob started in 1981 what is now known today as the Woodson Center. Its mission is to transform lives, schools, and troubled neighborhoods from the inside out. Before we took a break, we talked a little bit about Josephs in the Bible. Bob, share a little bit more about how Josephs have really made the change in these communities.
Well, first of all, if it wasn't for the good Pharaoh, we wouldn't know about Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph, as you know, had one of 13 brothers and had this cloak of many colors and was favored by his father.
Mm-hmm.
And, betrayed by his brother, sold to the Ishmaelites, who were slave traders from Egypt. And he was in the house of Potiphar as a servant, but he became the best servant in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife lusted for him. He said, I cannot do this. It would be a violation of the trust that my master had. He had lateral integrity and horizontal integrity. would be a sin against us. And so she persisted and pulled his cloak off and accused him of attempted rape, and he was put in part of the Pharaoh's jail, where he served from 17 to 31. But he became the best prisoner and rose in responsibility in that jail. And then when he interpreted the dreams of two of Potiphar's servants, that they were supposed to help him, they betrayed him. So when when Pharaoh had this dream that none of his experts could answer, and he asked Joseph, I understand you can interpret dreams. It took Joseph. Joseph said, no, God does this. I'm merely his messenger. Well, that was different than what he did at 17, because he said, I can do it.
Ah.
And so it took that experience to cleanse him of self-importance, because God can't use you if you think it's about you. And yet Joseph, if he were bitter, God couldn't have used him. But he was faithful to God in the presence of all of this abuse and injustice. And as a consequence, he told Pharaoh there'd be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, and then save up 20% and appoint an overseer. And Pharaoh appointed him as the overseer. But when Joseph's brothers appeared to him, they didn't recognize him. He retired and wept, but not in front of them, because he was angry at what they had done to betray him. And, of course, what followed was a series of tests. So he would plant silver in their satchels and accuse them of going back and forth. And it wasn't until at the final test, he kept his younger brother Benjamin in prison for falsely accusing him. And Judah, the principal conspirator, came to Joseph and said, it would break my father's heart, so take me. It was then that Joseph wept and said, I am your brother Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a lesson for me that deals with the race issue today.
Yeah.
Joseph, his brothers, if they saw them as conspirators, they were not his brothers of spirit. They were his blood brothers. But he was still angry. It wasn't until Judah, the principal conspirator, became humbled and offered himself that Joseph knew that his heart had really changed. And then he said, I am your brother Joseph, that you were the wrong God meant for me.
Mm-hmm.
The lesson in us is that you may be my brother in blood, but until you serve the master, you are not my brother in spirit. In other words, you may be my color, but are you my kind? Jesus wants to know, he wants you to be his kind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what unites us.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is when he was at the door and the disciple says, your mother and your brothers and sisters. And he said, who is my mother, my brother, my sister? But he who does the work of my father. And then said, behold, my brother, my... And so there's a consistency in there of how we should define relationships.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with class. It has nothing to do with color. It has everything to do, are we in sync in doing the Father's work? And so that, I go into urban centers, crime-infested, drug-infested neighborhoods, and I look for these Josephs. They are the social entrepreneurs. And I look for both types, because some people are persuaded by the message. Others are persuaded by a witness. And I also look for the good pharaohs. The good pharaohs are able to dream bad dreams in good times, but also humble enough to reach across racial, ethnic, and history. Think about a powerful pharaoh with all of the people in waiting for him to choose an uneducated 31-year-old Hebrew shepherd and give him the reins of power and appoint him over other Egyptians. That's a powerful statement of how we must reach across racial and class lines and put the welfare of the state ahead of all of these petty differences.
Right, right. Bob, where have you seen this in action?
I can give you an example of some of the most dramatic that because I'm about to resurrect that now, but
yeah.
There was an area in Washington, D.C. called Benning Terrace. It has a public housing project where there were 53 murders in 2 years in the five-square block area because of these warring factions, the Avenue and the Circle. I had been working with five ex-offenders who had come to Christ and were well-trusted by people on the streets, in the courts, and all over. And I said to them, we don't have any way of measuring your effect. Mm-hmm. And so there was a 12-year-old boy killed in this neighborhood, and it attracted national attention. And I said, God has made the choice. Go up in there and bring those warring factions to my office.
Mm.
They had the trust. They brought 16 of these young people to my office downtown. We had a meal for them because kids will fight when they're drinking together, never when they're eating.
Mm.
And then they had bulletproof vests. We searched them, and they sat at the table, and we started with prayer, but they wouldn't touch each other. So one of the men stood in between, and we started with prayer. And we started these young men on a journey, and they said, no one has ever asked us to be peaceful.
Wow.
And after two or three sessions, we said, are you happy with this life you're living? And they said, no.
Mm.
We said, if we can show you another path, would you take it? They said, we will try. We went from that to zero gang deaths in 12 years.
Wow.
These same young men who terrorized the community, put them at work rebuilding. It's not enough to tell young people what not to do. You got to tell them what they can do.
Yes.
And so they were no longer a gang. One was a foreman, and they worked for one another. And people who used to run from them ran to them. And there was a great celebration in this community. And two of these young men lived with my wife and myself for a period of 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we're close today. It's been 21 years that these young men have made that change. And the principles that we followed in bringing back that truce, we were able to export to other cities.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to do the same in Washington now. Those same men that I told you about 21 years ago,
mm-hmm.
they have stepped up in Washington. And for the last 2 months, in one of the most crime-ridden neighborhoods in Washington, there has not been a single incident of violence.
Wow.
They've created an island of peace.
Wow.
And we are going to work with them Thursday to expand that. But when all over the country, when there's just been this hemorrhage of violence
mm-hmm.
that has consumed the news,
yeah.
they have had peace in that community.
That is amazing. Is that what you call the violence-free zones? Violence-free zones.
Yes.
We definitely want to hear more about that. We do see so much in the news today. And you know, part of it is just the eye is on that right now. The national eye seems to be on that right now. And sometimes...
Well, we have the cure.
Yeah, we need to hear the hope of the cure. And I feel
and
like
it's not
this
ending
is the hope.
Systemic racism or defunding the police.
Yeah.
Those are just leftist, radical means of destroying this country.
Yeah.
So we are going to point the way for how to do this by attacking the enemy within. Those communities.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to hear a lot more about violence-free zones, how to come out of the chaos, absolute chaos in the world today, especially in the U.S. We're here with Bob Woodson. He's at Woodson Center. You can find more out about him and the Woodson Center at woodsoncenter.org. He's also launched a new initiative, 1776unites.com. We're going to talk about that in the next couple segments. Stay with us. This is really good stuff.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a here. I'm here in studio today with Bob Woodson, founder and CEO of the Woodson Center. The Woodson Center's focus much of the organization's activities on an initiative to establish violence-free zones. The Violence-Free Zone is a youth violence reduction and high-risk student mentoring program. It's in troubled schools and in neighborhoods throughout the nation. We talked a little bit about this in the last segment, Bob, but really it's based on biblical truth and biblical promise. Tell us more about this cure for what's going on.
In other words, if you have really centers of interest, centers of influence, if you have a school of 1,000 kids, they're influenced by 10%. And that 10% by 10%. So it really just takes us changing a small number of people who are influencers. Mm. And once you change them, then they can take that leadership that they have, the influence they have, and change an entire community mm-hmm. of people. And that's the secret of what we do. We reach them. They we appeal. It's a moral appeal. Mm. But these young men, the Alliance of Concerned Men, they're called, they are ex-offenders themselves. They have walked the paths that these young people have walked. And so they are witnesses to these young people that because life started you on a certain path, it means you have to remain on that path. And so it's through their walk that they are able to influence people. Mm-hmm. And but also, once these young men changed, we said what we're offering to help for you, not just for you to get a job, but you have to give back. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when we're talking about poverty, we don't understand that just giving someone something can also injure them with the helping hand, is that real faithful relationships require reciprocity in it. You give, but you expect to receive, and but you should give back. And so the first thing we do is make these older young people responsible for guiding others. Mm. And so that we asked them what were they passionate about. They said they are passionate about being coaches. So we put the word out, and the first day, 64 young people showed up to play football, yeah. being coached by these ex-gang members. Mm. And that's been 21 years ago. We have four teams, and some of these young men are growing up now and So when you, to sustain transformation, redemption, it's important to put people to work serving others.
I know that.
That's essential.
Yeah, I know that in one clip, and I read it at the beginning, I probably messed it up more than I should have, but you said, do that which ennobles people in order to give charity. We can't just do the handout, and that hasn't worked. And it resonated with me because, you know, there's so many people that are in need, and yet there's so many charities out there that are absolutely trying to meet the need, and yet we still see the need growing. And what you said about that made so much sense.
There was a quick example of that. There was a woman that had a shelter for abused women. And every year, the volunteers would collect toys and give them to the children at Christmas. Everybody was happy at the Christmas party except the moms. So the second year, they changed it. They allowed these moms to volunteer to earn toy vouchers.
Wow.
And with these toy vouchers, they could babysit, they could go shopping with people. It's just a number of chores that they had to perform, and they earned these toy vouchers. And at the Christmas, when the toys were given, they were put in a store, and the moms could take these toy vouchers and shop for their own children. And at the Christmas party, it was the moms who gave the toys to their children, not these volunteers. Mm-hmm. And it changed the entire character of the program. It instilled dignity in people. When you give them an opportunity to give back, it always bestows dignity on both the giver and the gift giver.
That's so good.
The recipient.
That's so good. That's such an important word. And you know, I thank you for just clarifying and bringing light to that, that in our work to help others, we need to empower them, we need to give them a chance and honor. How has God helped you through some of the difficulties as you've, you know, launched this initiative, worked with the teens, worked with the young adults?
Well, in a very direct way, I've been to sometimes when these young men lose friends for gang violence and they want to retaliate. I've always been there at the funerals to hug them and say, you cannot turn your life back to that, let the police handle it. 17 years ago, tragically, my 39-year-old son died in an accident. He was in the Bush administration.
Wow.
And we had to bury him. And at the memorial service, I was really in pain. And 18 of these young men came to that service.
Wow.
And they all came from the back of the church to the front and surrounded my family with smiles on their faces. And their message to me, without saying anything, you have 18 sons. You've lost one. We need you. And that just changed everything for me. It held me and my family up, that they were giving back to me that a portion of what I had given to them.
Yeah.
And what God had given to us both.
Yeah, so powerful. I'm almost caught off guard. That is so powerful. You know, you talked earlier about who the true family is, right? As God calls it, it's not because of skin or blood. It's that we fall into the same belief, and we're knitted together by the Lord. And to me, that's the most powerful example, illustration that you just gave, is those 18 young men feeling like we're your sons, and grieving with you and walking alongside you. That's amazing.
Right. It also reminded me that I don't belong to me.
Mm.
That I'm God's child, but that we're instruments that He uses for His glory.
Yeah.
And if we can just understand that. But these young men certainly showed up, and there were cabinet officers there. There were 3 White House officials, 4 senators, a number of people from Congress. But as far as I was concerned, the most important people there were these 18 ex-gang members who surrounded my family and just held us up so it come to complete circle. It just solidified everything for me that when you can see God's grace in action, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget that as long as I live. Yeah. And my son, who was 39, was my closest friend.
Wow.
I could not imagine living a life without him. Mm-hmm. But again, these young men, through their actions, sent a different message to me. Mm-hmm. Wow. That we don't want to live our lives without you.
There's much to do. There is much to do.
Yes.
I feel... Go ahead, Bob.
No, and my son appeared to me the day, the night after he died. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I am fine." Mm-hmm. And after that, I was able to stand up for the rest of the family because mm-hmm. I knew he's in a safe place.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great moment for you. What a tough, unbearable, but God's grace, right? God's grace. You've gone on.
We left the church declaring victory.
Yeah. 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 That's such a...
I didn't understand it at the time, but all I could say at the end of my eulogizing of my son mm-hmm. is that I looked at these young men's face and I said, "I declare victory."
We're going to come back we're going to take a quick break. Thank you so much for sharing that. God is good all the time, and there's always his grace and his presence to get us through even the most unbearable moments. There are many in our audience today who face unbearable moments, and by God's grace, he will get you through, just as he did Bob Woodson and the loss of his 39-year-old son. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about 1776 Unite, a new initiative Bob has started, a positive initiative.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here in studio with Bob Woodson. Bob is an early MacArthur Genius Awardee and the recipient of the 2008 Bradley Prize. He's won the Presidential Citizens Award and a 2008 Social Entrepreneur Award from the Manhattan Institute. His latest initiative is called 1776 Unites. It's an assembly of independent voices who uphold our country's authentic founding virtues and values and challenge those who assert America is forever defined by past failures. It's recently been launched. Tell us about that, Bob.
We decided in response last August to the New York Times publishing a series of essays by a black journalist and really defining America's birth in 1619 when the slaves, first 20 African slaves arrived on our shores. And as a consequence of that and the fact that signers of the Declaration of Independence, many of them were slave owners, they wanted to redefine America as a slavetocracy and say, therefore, because of our birth defect of slavery, then the whole enterprise that America is defined as a criminal enterprise and that all whites are therefore victimizers and all blacks are victims. And we decided to respond to that, not with a debate. So we brought together a collection of led by primarily black scholars and activists, but not just black, but others, but primarily because they are using the rich legacy of the civil rights movement as their moral cover to decry and defame this country. And so we have assembled, we call ourselves 1776, as the real birthday of the country. And we have published essays celebrating our past. No one should be judged by the worst of what they were when they were born, nor should a country. And so we are publishing essays that are aspirational and inspirational examples of how blacks achieved in the face of oppression, and that the 1619 never talks about blacks who achieved in response to oppression. They just talked about slavery, all of the failures and not the successes. So we're pushing back against it. This is a David and Goliath fight, but I remember who won that fight.
I do too. I do too. With one stone, with one essay.
One stone. Right.
Just so one essay.
We're getting a lot of support and momentum is building around the country to push back against the demonizing of America. That's what the left is trying to do.
Yeah.
And so they're using America's birth defect of slavery as the bludgeon to really defame and discredit this great nation of ours. So we're mobilizing a resistance to it.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it by offering examples of how people triumphed over. For example, from the time end of slavery, even when slaves were released from the plantations, records of six plantations reveal that 75% of all slave households had a man and woman raising children.
Yeah.
And Christian faith and nuclear families caused the black community for over a century to thrive in the face of challenges. And the desecration of faith and the tearing apart of families over the last 50 years of the poverty programs are really tearing this country apart. And so but we're trying to change and resurrect it from this tortured past over the last 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you look at what's going on in today's world, we look at all the riots and the chaos. I imagine you see it from two perspectives, from the perspective of the youth and how we can go in and we can build violence-free zones, but also from a perspective of truth in what you're trying to do with 17-7. I see it as something that can actually work well together, because you not only have a cure or a way to save these communities from inside out, as you say, but you always also have truth and those behind the truth that can speak the truth.
Right, and that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's an uphill struggle. It's a David and Goliath. Mm-hmm. That I think that thank God that we have people of goodwill coming together behind us, and we think people like the people in your audience listening, mm-hmm. they would just help out.
Yeah,
we can win this one.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, we in Hawaii are, we're kind of far from all of that. So sometimes we don't feel the impact of what's going on because we are so distant. And yet we know what it is to be a minority because we are a state of minorities. So, you know, you talk about racial difference. We live within racial difference. And I think we've learned to adjust a little bit better and just because we are such a melting pot. And yet, yes, when we do travel to what we call the mainland, it's pretty much an affront to see, you know, some of the very poor treatment of others. And as you say, it's just a really getting into the communities and using the community to reach the community and build the community back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to ask you another question. If you've initiated so much as an activist, a leader, a voice to those that have no voice, what will you one day hope to say is your greatest success?
My greatest success is that, that's a good question, that when people think about their life, they will remember life's promise. And not life defects, that they will look at the transformed lives and rebuild communities, and attribute some of that to the spirit of hope that we have tried to inspire in people.
Yeah.
Whenever something is rebuilt, I want them to say, I remember when it was destroyed, and now it's been renewed.
Bob, before we finish, we have a few minutes left. Would you pray? Would you pray for our listeners? Pray for those in need. Pray for the needs of our nation. Would you?
Yes, Jesus. We just take this time to first of all praise your holy name for giving us the strength, the will, the desire, the compassion to be a voice in the wilderness to change this troubled nation. We ask you to give us strength, to give us resources, to renew our vision of what America has been and what it can become. That although you said that we're being slaves, we're slain, yet will we trust you, and we accept the challenges that before us.
Thank you.
We accept the challenge that has come from within us, that we will unite with others, not only in prayer, but in spirit, to renew this country, one soul at a time, one neighborhood at a time, one city at a time, one nation at a time. We ask this in your precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Bob, for being with us today. We've had a great time with you, and I wish you the best in 1776unites.com. If you'd like to know more information about the work of the Woodson Center, go to woodsoncenter.org. Thank you so much, Bob. We really appreciate
you
taking the time out of your day and in your evening.
All right.
God bless.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Those are inspiring words from Bob Woodson. He can be. You can find out more about him at woodsoncenter.org. Support 1776unites.com. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do so and you need more information, go to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus. We have lots of information there. To help us with any financial support, make a donation, and especially to pray. Pray for our nation, pray for our organization. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click on partners. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to our guest, Bob Woodson. Until next time, our technical producer, Chaz Antais, web designer, Arlen Nagata. I'm Lonnie Ka'a for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.